Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea is considered one of the minor prophets, but certainly not minor in his message. And you'll find him right after the book of Daniel. I sure need your prayers this morning. I've been studying and reading and praying now for 3 days over this, and I still feel woefully prepared, but I know how to trust Jesus. I believe he'll say what needs to be said this morning and leave the rest of it alone. Amen. My attention was drawn, I believe it was on Thursday morning, as I was reading to verse 15 of chapter number 2. And the Bible said in verse 15 in chapter number 2, "And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." That's the only verse I'm going to read right now, but I'm going to read several verses in the book of Hosea and try to bring a message this morning entitled "The Door of Hope." That's what God has put in my heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for your word, and thank you, Lord, that, Lord, even the Old Testament was written for our admonition. It was written for our learning. Lord, it was an example to us. We could learn from it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning. Please help us. Please fill us with your Spirit and with your power. Please give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church today. And Lord, I pray today you'd clothe us in her calling. That one, Lord, that's near despair, Lord, may they see in front of them this day a door of hope. That one, our Father, that's lost without God, may they see before them a day, this day, a door of hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the one. Lord, Brother Brian told us this morning out of John 14, you said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." Lord, you're also the one that said, "I am the door." Thank you, Father, Lord, for giving us a door that we can go through into life eternal. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to say this morning, just in the onset of the message, Hosea, I guess, is an unusual character in the Word of God. In chapter 1 and verse number 2, God instructs Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, "Go and take unto thee a wife of whoredoms." And it's an unusual command from God. It's an unusual situation for God to say such a thing. That would, of course, been against the law of God in the Old Testament. But God is going to bring a message through this prophet that from a broken heart and from a broken home. I believe God in this prophecy in Hosea wants Israel to know how that they have broken the Father's heart. I believe at times in our Christian lives, as I've examined myself in these last few days, I'm guilty of breaking my Father's heart. Israel was an idolatrous nation. Israel was committing what we call spiritual whoredoms or spiritual adultery, if you please. And we know that Hosea is to Israel. He's brokenhearted and he's preaching from a broken heart and a broken home. Gomer, he marries Gomer, and then Gomer goes out again and he buys her back. Blesses my heart to know that there was a day when I was on the auction block. There was a Savior that stepped forth, said, "I'll take him." Amen. They don't know nobody else want him, and he ain't fit for nothing. But I tell you, I'll take him. And I appreciate that of my Lord. And Hosea is to Israel what Jeremiah was to Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom, and Israel was the northern kingdom. And Judah stayed a lot closer to God a lot longer than Israel did, and had a wonderful prophecy in Jeremiah, but Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. His heart became broken also over Judah. I think about the line in the song that we're prone to wander, prone to leave the one we love, the God that we love. Amen. And we see that exemplified in the lives of the children of Israel and in the lives of the children of Judah as well. I want to give you three things in the message today, and I don't know exactly how to get all this across in one message, but God being my helper, I feel like I need to. Maybe I need to trim down some of it, but I want to look at three things. I want us to look at the darkness of the hour, and then I want us to look at the door of hope in Hosea, and then I want to look at the deliverance that's on the horizon. Glory to God, I'd like to just stop and preach on that first, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's a deliverance for the children of God right on the horizon, amen. It ain't going to be long, and we're going to be leaving here, going to our real home. But let's look, first of all, at the darkness of the hour. Let me just say some things before I start into the book of Hosea here. You know, in our country today, I want you to draw some parallels as I read some of these passages of Scripture. Now listen, Hosea is not written to the United States of America. It's written primarily to Israel. It's primarily about Israel. But how many knows you can glean things, amen, from the Word of God? There's one interpretation when you read the Word of God, but sometimes there are many applications. And I believe you'll see some things. And I've been thinking in recent days, if you've been watching the news, the United States and France and Great Britain, they put a hurting on those people there in Syria that were bombing their people with the gas, that were using the gas. But I want to just say something to you this morning. We need to thank God when there's a victory. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If our confidence ever becomes in our missiles and in our bombs and in our military might, beloved, you listen to me. I love our military. I love the men and women that serve in our military, that have served in our military. And I do believe that peace does come through strength. Don't you get me wrong. But I'm telling you, as a nation, we ought to humble ourselves. And we ought to be understanding that, listen, I believe one reason for the victory is just where we stand with Israel. And there's a remnant of God's people left in this country that love Him and want to serve Him. But I'll tell you this, there's another side of the coin in America. There's a dark side. Amen. There's some darkness in this hour that we live in. And I want to give you some things as we go through the Word of God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there are homes that are broken up today over a little bit of nothing. Amen. They're saying it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. That's a dark hour. The drunkenness is never spoken against in Washington, D.C. You want to know why? Because there's a bunch of drunks in Washington, D.C. That's exactly why. And it's hard to even find a voice anymore that'll speak out against marijuana. Amen. Are you listening to me? They want to legalize that that's wrong. Legalize abortion. Legalize gambling. And there's a darkness even in the hour that we live. There's a crookedness among the politicians. Would somebody help me this morning? I'm telling you, there was a day in our nation, beloved, when a man needed to be a moral man, and a man needed to be a Christian man even. But anymore, it doesn't matter, beloved, according to the society that we live in. But according to the Scripture, it still matters. Amen. The issues have not gone away. Let me give you some things. Just read a few verses about the darkness of the hour. In chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible said, "For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Let me ask you something, beloved. Are we departing from the Lord in America, or are we getting closer to the Lord in America? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're getting closer to Him, you're in the very few of that remnant. Amen. Most of us
in this country are departing from the ways of God. You can't read the Word of God in school, and you can't pray the way you used to. I believe the faculty ought to be having a prayer meeting, and the students ought to be having a prayer meeting. And I don't believe we ought to be in an argument over which religion, amen, to pray under. Amen. We're one nation under God, and there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. All the rest of it's a mess. Amen. Thank God this morning for America. But there's a darkness in the hour. He said, I'll cause thee to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. The Bible said in verse 5, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. The Bible said in verse 6, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. In verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Look at verse 9. The Bible said, call him Lo-Ami, for you're not my people, and I will not be your God. These are just a few examples of the darkness of the hour in this book. In chapter 2, verse 5, for their mother hath played the harlot. I'm telling you something right now, beloved, the reason our homes are going the way they're going many times is because there's no father, and the mother is going the way she's going and playing the harlot in this generation that we live in. The Word of God said in verse 6, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. It's a dark hour. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. I wonder, beloved, how many in America today know where the blessings are coming from, know where the groceries came from, know where the paycheck came from, know where the shoes on their feet came from, know where the clothes on their back came from, know where that good woman that God gave a man came from. Say, man, know where the wonderful children that God gave us and grandchildren came from. I tell you, in America, I believe lots of times people are like a hog under an oak tree. They're eating the acorns, and they never look up to see where the blessings come from. Beloved, listen, that's the way it was in Israel. It was a dark day in the land of Israel. Verse 12 of chapter 2, I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Oh, beloved, it's a dark day. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. It's not just the people in America. It's the pulpits in America. Beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, there's not much truth being delivered from the pulpits in our country anymore. A pulpit used to be a place to thunder against sin, and to thunder that there was one way to heaven, and Jesus was the only way. The pulpit used to be a place where a man would thunder, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm telling you, the pulpit used to be a place where people proclaimed that, listen, it takes the blood of Jesus, it takes being born again to be saved by the grace of God. And we're living in a generation where people can walk down the aisle, chewing gum, grinning from ear to ear, and say this little prayer and leave out thinking, beloved, with no Holy Ghost conviction and no Holy Ghost conversion, that they're saved by the grace of God. And it's a lie. The Bible said there's no mercy. There's no truth. No mercy. No knowledge of God in the land. Look at verse 6 in chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. The Bible said in the latter part of the verse, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. In verse 8, they eat up the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. In verse number 10, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Listen to me. I'm just reading you a few verses. Amen. What you ought to do is go home and read the whole book. And maybe your heart would be as heavy as my heart is right now. And maybe you could understand, beloved, that we're living in a great nation. Yes, we are. But we're living in dark days. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God is taking notice of our land and this world that we live in. And God, my God, does not wink at our sin, amen, but he commands all men everywhere to repent And I believe that's important. The Bible said in verse 12, the spirit of whoredoms have caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. The Bible said in verse 16 of chapter 4, for Israel slideth back as a backslider. Ephraim in verse 17 is joined to idols. In verse 18, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. I'm telling you, beloved, Israel is in a mess. And Hosea knows it. And Hosea's not trying to tiptoe through the tulips. He's telling them like it is. Because I tell you, that's what God's men have always done. Has not told people what they wanted to hear, but told them, praise God, what they needed to hear, that they might repent and get right with a holy God. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation where people say, well, it's different now. It's all right to shack up now. But I'm telling you, listen, it's not. My friend, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what the Bible said. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we have an opportunity in the land to thunder the truth of the Word of God. And, beloved, hopefully our children and our grandchildren will get saved by the grace of God and walk with God in these days and be in that remnant, amen, that goes with God. The Bible said here, if you look on down here in verse number 4 of chapter 6, the Bible said here, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments, thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In chapter 7 and verse 2, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. In verse 4, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker. Strangers have devoured his strength. In verse 9, and the pride of Israel, listen to verse 10, testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, America's full of pride. Listen, there's a good kind of pride. I thank God to be an American. Listen, but there's a bad kind of pride where you think you can make it without God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen, God wants to help us. But in order to get help, first of all, we're going to have to understand the darkness of the hour. Nobody's going to get interested in the door of hope until they see the darkness of the hour that we live in. Amen. We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Listen, I believe, listen, the law is our schoolmaster. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard anybody preach the law? Oh, yes, sir, buddy. We want to go to church and we want to hear grace. We want to hear mercy, and I do too. We want to hear love. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What got me in, beloved, was understanding that I was a guilty, low-down, hell-bent sinner. Amen. And that I needed a Savior. And I believe, beloved, listen, the law is our schoolmaster. And Hosea is laying down the law to the children of Israel and telling them like it is, beloved. Listen, I believe it's going to help in the long run. Look at what the Bible said in verse number 13 of chapter 7. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Verse 14, they have not cried unto me with their heart. In verse 16, he said, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. I begin to think about that. I begin to look that up and study about that because I love archery. If it weren't for my back, I'd still be shooting a bow. I just love to shoot a bow. But there have been times in my archery career that, beloved, I can understand what a deceitful bow is. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you can have a bow that just, it looks just like it did when you took it out of the case. It looks just like it did. Are you listening to me? The last time you turned an arrow loose and it went right where it was supposed to go. Listen to me. But there's such a thing as a deceitful bow. It looks real good. But down under the serving on the string, there's something going on. And you don't see it because it's down under the serving. The little strands in the string are breaking. Amen? And you pull the bow back and It's a deceitful bow now because everything looks good and you do the same thing you did on the last shot and the bow blows up in your hands. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, there's some things going on under the current, under the surface in our land. It's covered up on the outside, but we cannot cover it up in the eyes of God. God knows what's going on in the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls in this country that we live in. Beloved friend, there's a deceitful bow. It can deceive you. It can look like everything's fine, and yet something be going wrong. I could go and preach for 15 minutes right there, but I'm not going to. Look at verse 7 of chapter 8. They have sown the wind. They shall reap the whirlwind. Look at verse 12. I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. All right, listen to me. How many of y'all love the King James Bible? I said, how many of you love the King James Bible? Let me ask you this. When somebody reads another one, is it a strange thing to you? Glory to God, I don't know what the rest of them says, but I know what mine says. And when it don't say what mine says, I know it's a strange book. Amen. But you know what's going on here? The Word of God, God's Word was a stranger to the people of God in Israel. The Bible said here it was counted as a strange thing. Look at verse 13. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sin? For Israel, verse 14, hath forgotten his maker. I'm almost done with this first point. Y'all hang on just a minute. Amen. I'm just going through and picking out a few verses. Listen to me. The darkness of the hour. Nobody's interested in the light until they understand how dark it is. My beloved friend, listen, let me tell you something right now. The Middle East is a tinderbox. And beloved, we might get a victory here and we might get a victory there. But I'm telling you, beloved, you better listen and you better pray. And God's people better be on our knees and we better be praying. Because I'm telling you, beloved, the day can come and come soon when that thing blows up, amen, in our face. The Word of God tells us here, Israel hath forgotten his maker, and for the most part, so has America. We have forgotten our maker. Now watch this now. In verse number 9, chapter number 9, and verse number 8, the Bible talked about the prophet, the snare, the fowler, and all of his ways, and hatred in the house of God. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. I thank God. As far as I know, we don't have one bit of problem with this around here. Hatred, envy, strife, malice, evil speaking, sowing discord among the brethren. You say, preacher, if you ever discover that, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run right towards it. Amen. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to run right towards it just as hard as I can and see if we can't get it ironed out and get it settled, because it'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a family. It'll destroy our testimony in this world that we live in. Beloved friend, listen, there was hatred in the house of God. Their abominations were according as they loved in verse number 10. If you come down to chapter 10, verse 2, their heart is divided. It's a dark time. In chapter 8, speaking of that tribulation hour, they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. In verse 13, you have plowed wickedness and have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. Beloved, let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with having a good army. Nothing wrong with having a good Marine Corps. Nothing wrong, beloved, with having missiles that are smart, having a good Navy, having a good Air Force. But I will say this. Beloved, listen. We're getting more people killed in America. You listen to me. You don't have to like what I'm going to say. But if you'll just watch the news, beloved, a lot of our men and women are dying just in training exercises because they're flying in equipment that's war slap out. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need to wake up and we need God in our midst once again in this country. Need to lean on him and look to him. He said in chapter 11, verse 4, I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. Verse 7, he said, my people are bent to backsliding. And then chapter 12, verse number 6, it therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, wait on thy God continually. I'm telling you, beloved, I see in Hosea the darkness of the hour. But I also see a door of hope. Listen, we read that over there in chapter number 2 and verse number 15. The Bible said, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for the door of hope. If you go back and study your Bible, the valley of Achor is where Achan was stoned to death and his family. How many understands that story? Remember that story? God gave them a great victory. That victory at Jericho was a victory like over the world. Gave them victory over the world. But the victory that was to take place at Ai would have been a victory over the flesh. And beloved, they went in there and they said, there's not many of them. And let's just send a few men up. And to paraphrase it, they got their hind ends whooped. Amen. I'm glad in East Tennessee we know what that means. They got their hind ends whooped. They went home with their tail tucked between their legs. And old Joshua got down praying, oh God, what are we going to do? We've been defeated. And God told Joshua, get up! He said, there's sin in the camp. I want you to know, beloved, listen, the valley of Achor is portrayed here as a valley, as a door of hope. Because listen to me, whether it's sin in the world or sin in the camp, thank God there's a door. His name is Jesus, and he can take care of the sin problem wherever it is. Beloved, you know where we're living today? From the pulpit to the pew, here's where we're living. Well, we ain't got no sin problem. That's where we're living. We ain't got no sin problem. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you would even breathe that this morning, you're deceived. I said if you would even breathe those words out of your mouth this morning, you're deceived. The Word of God said, if a man says he's without sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. You say, well, preacher, as far as I know, I'm walking close to God. You're probably the one that sees your sin quicker than anybody else in the room. Amen. I'll tell you this, a person walking close to God will never be the person to tell you they're walking close to God. I'll tell you that this morning. Beloved friend, there's a door of hope. What happened down there? I tell you what God did. God took care of the sin. And beloved, when God took care of the sin, then Joshua said, send all the men of war. Amen. And they got up and they went in and they won the victory at Ai. You say, preacher, I don't understand how that you could choose that valley for a door of hope. That's our only hope. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sinner's hope of being saved. That's the saint's hope of seeing revival in this land. It's to repent of our sin and come clean with God. Oh, beloved friend, listen. You say, preacher, boy, they had them little idols there in Israel. Yeah, we got ours too. That's exactly right. We got ours too. What is it that keeps us away from this book? How is it, beloved, that we can speak to 100 different people in a week and not breathe the name of Jesus to one of them? You tell me how that is. How is it we got time to hunt? We got time to fish. We got time to golf. We got time for everything under the sun, but don't have time for Him. How is it? How is it that we got time for Facebook and don't have time for God's book? I'm telling you, beloved, there's a door of hope. Oh, hallelujah, for a Savior that says, I know where you've been. That's what He's saying to Israel. I know what you've done, and I love you. Come on back. Come on home. You can be forgiven. I can use you. I can bless you. I can help you. I tell you what I believe. Listen to me carefully. I believe we've, as a nation, we've done forgot 9/11. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. God used wicked nations to bring Israel to her knees. God did not use righteous people. God used wicked people to bring His people to their knees. I tell you, Hosea, He's preaching from a broken heart. You know what he's thinking? All this is going on, and there's so much wrong. But standing right in the middle, Brother Brian, is a door of hope. Standing right in the middle of all of it is the Savior that says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll tell you why people just stand in an invitation and could care less about what happens, because they don't see the darkness in their soul. They don't see the darkness in this world. They don't see, beloved, the deadness in their spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is sounding a warning. He's saying there's a door of hope in the valley of Achor. Achan, it was too late for him to repent. You say, preacher, what did he do? What did he do that was so bad? Did he kill somebody? Nope. He took a wedge of gold and he hid it in his tent. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. What I'm preaching right now ought to scare somebody that don't tithe half to death. He just took what belonged to God. God told him when they won that battle at Jericho not to keep any of it. That's all he did, is took what belonged to God and buried it in his tent. I'm telling you this morning, I believe God in heaven is the one that knows, beloved, listen, whether you have his stuff buried in your tent or not. And then he took that Babylonian garment. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me right now. Let me just say this. Won't cost you a dime. Our garments ought to be different than the garments of the world. Our garments ought to cover more than the garments of the world cover. You say, preacher, I wouldn't mention that. Well, I tell you what, if we could get the Holy Ghost in the house and not be grieved to death, maybe we could see him do something for the glory of God. Amen. Clothing is to conceal, not to reveal. Summertime's a-coming. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants to give revival. Yes, he does. But I tell you where we're going to have to meet him, in the valley of Achor. We're going to have to meet him at the door of hope. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the door of hope. Let me give you this and I'm done this morning. Brother Steve's back there in the back. Brother Steve, I had the privilege to visit with him and his wife. They were in prison ministry for years. I used to tell them, Brother Steve, I preached till the Lord got done. Then I started going to prison and I preached till the state said I was done. And I had that wreck 15 years ago and now I just preach till my body says I'm done. And I promise you I'm not done. Let me tell you something. There's a deliverance on the horizon. You say, preacher, you reckon we'll ever get that mess straightened out over there? We ain't going to get it straightened out here and we ain't going to get it straightened out over there. I'm going to tell you something. The straightener outer is on his way. Cody's on his way. And honey, he'll straighten it out. He's going to take care of it. What we need to be is on our knees. Trusting him. Looking for him. Wondering, Brother Joe, what are our loved ones going to do if he comes today? What are they going to do? I'm telling you right now, beloved, listen to me carefully. If the Spirit of God has ever one time dealt with your heart, you've heard the gospel of Christ and you turn away from him and Jesus comes in the air. As far as 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you're in trouble. God's going to send strong delusion. All them, beloved, that had pleasure in unrighteousness are going to believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Bible says. But on the horizon is a Savior, a Deliverer. I'll give you this and I'm done. In the days of Moses, they were killing the little babies. You remember that? Remember that? 2 years old, all the men, children 2 years old and under. And there was an announcement in the background being made. What was that word Brother Gale gave us this morning in the dimension? In that other dimension, there was an announcement being made. The deliverer's on the way. His name was Moses. Then in the days of Jesus, same thing happened. In that other dimension, Brother Brian, there was an announcement being made. The deliverer is on the way. And I'm telling you, listen to me. You listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean. But we've killed millions and millions and millions and millions of babies in the United States of America. And got a Congress up there that just approved more money for Planned Parenthood. I'm going to tell you something right now. In that other dimension, I hear a voice saying, the deliverer is on the way. He's on the way, youngins. Are you ready to meet him? Is there anything going on in your life that's holding up revival? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you ought to run to Jesus. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, there's a door of hope. You say, preacher, what's my hope of being saved? Is it Bible Way Baptist Church? Oh, no. No. It's the Jesus that we preach at Bible Way Baptist Church. What's our hope as the saints of God of getting right and having revival? The same Jesus. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us. Somebody said to me one time, said, preacher, aren't you worried about them people's all time running to that altar? You know what I said? Not really. I'm worried about them that don't ever need to go. Every once in a while, Brother Rose, my Heavenly Father, shows me what he's got to work with, and it ain't much. He shows me how I failed him. He shows me my folly and my foolishness. You say, preacher, I wouldn't say such words. I didn't say them about you. I said about me. But I just guarantee you, if you'd get under the searchlight of God, you might find a little something there in your life too. You say, preacher, it ain't too bad. Let me tell you this. It's the little foxes. They're spoiling the vine. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. You give me a bottle of water, and it's just as pure as it can be. But you just drop one drop of poison in it, and I don't want to drink. Somebody help me. I'm telling you, God wants to help us in the book of Hosea. He said there's a door of hope. The Spirit of God will bring us to the door. But when we get to the door, now we have to decide. I'm trying to quit. Something just come to my mind. You remember over there when God, he made all the creation and said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. You remember all that? But he made a man, and he said, that's not good for that man to be alone, so he made him a woman. I believe when God did that, he said, that's good. The home. The sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Six short chapters. God now looks down on man and says, it repents. They repented the Lord that he made man. The wickedness was just so intense across the board, across the whole world. He said, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going to an ark. I'm going with the man of God and his family to a day when God stood inside the ark and said, come thou in. He said, preacher, what did they do? The Bible said that God shut the door. Listen to me. It was a door of hope. It was between Noah and his family and the judgment that was coming. How many knows that's right? The rains came down and the floods came up. The Bible said there, the earth opened up and the waters of the deep sprang forth. Beloved, it wasn't long, it wasn't long, it wasn't long at all when it started raining that people understood there's a door of hope. I picture this in my mind. I could be absolutely wrong. But if I was anywhere near that ark, I'd have been beaten on that door. Brother Grizzle, I believe that somewhere, if you listen to Noah preach for 120 years, somewhere in that man of God's voice, you would have heard some compassion. Somewhere in his voice, you would have heard some warning. And I believe I would have beat on that door just hoping that the man of God would have compassion and open that door and let me in. The Bible said the Lord shuts doors that no man can open. And he opens doors that no man can shut. My heart and my mind goes back to the children of Israel. God is dealing with the Egyptians. He's dealing with Pharaoh. And he tells Moses, he said, there's going to be death. It's going to be visited in the land of Egypt to all the firstborn. He said, I want you to take a lamb, a spotless lamb. He said, I want you to kill the lamb. And he said, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. How many remembers that? And on the lintel. He said, preacher, what in the world was God doing in the midst of all that death? I'll tell you what he was doing. He was giving those families in the land of Israel, Brother Anthony, a door of hope. Judgment will stay on the outside of my home because there's blood on the door. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I say hallelujah for a door of hope. This morning, you need to understand, the door will be shut one day. I'll preach my last message one day, and I'll go home. If you had to go today, would you go home or would you go to hell? I'm telling you, beloved, home is real to me, but hell is real to me too. The same God that told us about home tells us about hell. This morning, I beg you, if you don't know Jesus, step through that door. The Spirit of God will bring you to that door. Just step on through by faith. Trust Jesus today. Child of God, I don't know why God's preached me the way he has today. But I'll tell you this, he had Israel's number. He's got my number, Brother Larry. He's got all of us' number. He knows where our heart is today. There in the church at Ephesus, they had so many things right. So many things going right. Yet the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. You say, preacher, where is revival going to be found? I'll tell you where it's going to be found. At our first love. It's going to be found right back there where he got a hold of us and we got a hold of him. And he changed our lives. That's where we'll find revival. Nobody had to beg us to pray. Nobody had to beg us to read the Bible. Nobody had to beg us to sing. Nobody had to beg us to tell somebody else about Jesus. Nobody had to beg us when it came to give or when it came to helping a family. Nobody had to beg us. We just couldn't wait because the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's bow for prayer this morning.